Welcome back, guys. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session where your fitness and lifestyle questions are answered and bro science is put to the test.
This week, we're coming back from a little break. We go over some updates. We go over our normal segments. Today, we're talking about leg day and some of the things that go into that, especially coming back from a break. Then we go into how Dimitri's trying a new diet and the things that he's going on with that, and then answer some listener questions at the end. So check it out and let us know what you think.
Yeah. Look at the way that I glisten. I saw me dripping. Put it in gear if you gave me permission. Gave her some back shots. She walked out the clinic. Now she gonna be so for a little minute.
Welcome back, guys. We did take a week off. That was a little bit longer than expected. I did want to talk a little bit about the break that we had this week. We decided that we were not going to post on Tuesday because of the Blackout Tuesday movement that happened. Essentially, what happened on Instagram is in, you know, reverence and to pay respect to what's been going on in our country. People were taking a moment off of Instagram and posting a black square to show support for what's been going on. And I thought it was a simple thing. I thought that it was something that, you know, Wes and I have some feelings on that we don't typically share. But, you know, the nation's hurting right now, and we want everyone to know that we don't want people to be hurt. And there are individuals right now who are under more pressure. And I want to be clear, and this is going to be a really hot take. Wes and I are against racists.
Yes.
We're against racism.
Not only that.
We're against racism in an overt stance. We're against racism in a systemic stance. Mm-hmm. So just because, you know, there aren't separate water fountains or lynch mobs going through the streets, we understand that there is still racism occurring, and it's not okay. Agreed. We're against violence against the citizenry. You know, it's funny that like we talk about violence against citizens first, because I actually hold like some pretty libertarian stances. So I'm like, why the fuck is the government attacking citizens in the first place? I paid for this. I already didn't really want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Now they're going to be killing people.
It's really, yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, it's tricky. No matter what you say, someone's going to disagree with you in this time.
Oh, for sure.
I've seen a lot of, you know, backlash from no matter what stance you take, especially on social media. Like, I've had friends with pretty significant accounts who have posted support for one thing, and then they've had people, like, you know, attack and come after them with, you know, hate. And then I've had also friends who didn't post anything in support, and people came and attacked them for hate as well.
And I have a problem with that. I have a huge problem with that because, you know, not just people we know and businesses we know, ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When we post that, we lost followers.
Right.
And it really chapped my ass, which typically I don't get upset about this kind of stuff, because my thought process on it is, I understand if you don't agree with certain aspects of a movement,
right?
Or I don't agree with the looters, or I don't agree with people who are destroying business or whatever. It's a moment where you need to step back and say, okay, there's a greater issue going on here,
right?
And this wasn't a statement of divisiveness; it was a statement of support. Mm-hmm. It was saying, it's like I saw a really good thing where people keep saying, they're like, oh, all lives matter. It's like, okay, when someone says we need to save the rainforest, do you respond, well, coniferous forests matter too?
Yeah.
What? Like, no, we're just talking about this one right now. Like, this is the one that's the problem. It's like, you can go to Bible verses. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but you've heard the 99 sheep thing.
Right.
It's like, one sheep is gone. Jesus says, I need to go save that sheep. Right. What about all the rest of us? It's like, well, you guys are fine. I need to go save the one who's in danger. It's like, have some perspective.
Right.
And that's my way of looking at it. And if, you know, people have problems with that, that's unfortunate. And I leave you to have your opinion. But I'm going to say it, and this is another controversial take. This one might actually be controversial. But if you're the kind of person that unfollows people for posting a black square in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, or someone who forgot or didn't post a black square in reference to the Black Lives Matter movement, you're the snowflake. And you don't know how to deal with discourse. And you don't know how to surround yourself with people with potentially differing opinions. And that I can't get behind.
Some of the loudest people, I think, are the ones that can't handle differing opinions.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
for those of you that are here, we do love you, and we appreciate you. And I have no problem saying that I stand behind the Black Lives Matter movement. But at the end of the day, we are a fitness podcast.
Right.
We stand by that, and we are not a political one, so we're not going to sit here and delve into politics and things that I don't think Wes or I can really say that we're
equipped to speak.
Yeah. Which I think that's the best thing a lot of us can do is sit back, listen, and just try to be supportive.
Right. I agree.
With that said,
we're talking about legs today.
Let's move from one serious topic to another serious topic.
Training legs is a serious thing because it's the biggest muscle group of the body.
Actually, but first, I want to talk about a more important part of the body.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The bench press call out.
Yes. So those of you who have been keeping tabs on our podcast recently have heard about our recent challenge between Dimitri and Dylan, where getting back after this quarantine, we're going to see which one can bench press two plates.
We changed it. I think we're going for peak. We're just going for max at a certain
straight
date.
Max.
We're going to call a neutral ground, and we're going to set a date, and we're just going to see who can do more on that day.
I think it should be 8 weeks from when we started, like, last week or the week before.
Okay, we'll hash it out with him later. Yeah. Moral of the story is, Dylan asked, do I even lift? I realized, no, not enough. I can always lift more. I told Wes, I said, get this aesthetic training plan out of my fucking face. Yeah. I'm becoming a power lifter again. Mm-hmm. My heart be damned. My joints be damned. Let's go ahead and get strong again. And I have some interesting challenges that are going to be coming up. We'll talk about that more at the end. See how I did that? Now I have to say it the whole time.
Ooh. Yeah. Stay tuned.
We'll have some interesting challenges I'm really excited to face. And I think that it'll level the playing field as well as create some interesting content moving forward. With that said, let us move first into our weekly wins and losses. All right, weekly wins and losses. Do you want to start with your win of the week?
Let me start with my loss of the week.
Starting with L's today.
Can I do that? Is that breaking the rules?
I want to start with wins because my L is kind of long.
Okay, let's start with this. That's fine. Since I'm not ready for a win going first, you jump the gun on me. You go first with the win.
Okay. He didn't come prepared. He didn't do his homework. He's the kid who's jamming out that 15 questions for quiz that he had to do.
I'm typing it in the back of the class right now, emailing it in before.
So my win of the week is I feel awesome. I've been fixing what I've been eating. I've been drinking. I've been drinking more water, literally crushing like 4 LaCroix a day, which is like the saddest thing to celebrate because all I drink is bubbly water and other water, but I've been feeling awesome. It's been great. And I have not been able to say that for most of the quarantine. It was one of those active changes that I walked into, and it takes like 2 weeks for you to suddenly start being like, oh shit, like I am not a dumpster fire. And I am now starting to feel the effects of that. My workouts have been awesome. And the only thing I can say that has been worse about it is I feel like I sweat way more. So I'm willing to make that trade.
Well, I think it's Arizona, it's over 100. You're going to be sweating anyway. So
that, you know what? You might have just called me an idiot, like, because that might be just true. Maybe I'm just stupid. It's just gotten hot.
I mean, probably some of both. Remember, I said the thermic effect of food, protein, makes your body burn hotter, and you're eating a lot of it right now.
I know. Wow. Giving away tips.
Oh, yeah. That one's for free, guys. Yep.
What's your win? Give me a small one, even if you're not ready.
So actually, I think this worked out perfectly because I'm going to go from my win to my loss, and then you can give her a long one because they kind of tie in together.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So my win was I made 3 clients throw up on leg day today by wrecking them.
You made them throw up?
Yeah, I wrecked them, bro.
I respect that. That's actually pretty badass.
One of them was not intentional. She was brand new. It was her first day. It was her first day. And like, she used to work out pretty like often, you know, and was in good shape. And then after you take like a long break and you come back.
Oh yeah. You think, you know, it's like when we talk about drinking, like,
yeah,
like, 6 is about a good level for me. It's like, no, bud, that was your good level.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're bent over a railing. Same thing with leg day. You think you know what you're doing. It's like, I know what I can lift.
Yeah. They're not like, anymore. Throw a plate on there. Let's go to town. And it's like their endurance is, you know, in the gutter. And their mental strength is like where it's always been. So then their body like just breaks down immediately. Like she threw up twice in one workout.
That's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Wait, so she threw up, came back.
This shows that she had some mental strength.
I respect the shit out of anyone that can throw up in the middle of a workout and come back to it. Like, I mean, of course I can say like, oh yeah, like I've done that. It's also because I had someone yelling at me.
Yeah.
It's like you're running, you throw up in the middle of the run. That doesn't mean the run's over. Mm-hmm. But anyone who can do it on their own volition.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
She did it twice, bro. And it was her first day.
That's damn.
Yeah. I was like hella impressed. I was like, okay.
All right. Wins all around on that one, actually.
So besides there is just another one on leg day, and that was just another routine one. It was Dylan, actually.
Dylan threw
him.
Up?
I got him. We went from back squat to step up supersets to 4 sets of 20 leg press. And as soon as we hit the leg press, he was like,
why have you never made me throw up, Wes? I feel like I'm not getting the amount of TLC that I deserve as an individual.
Because when I say, let's do 4 sets of 20, you laugh at me.
We always do what you tell me to do. What have we've never done 4 sets of 20, I'm not going to lie. I feel like you need to stop letting me negotiate out of these things.
Okay.
Only because you were like, I also don't want to do this, and I'll come up with like a, we'll put air quotes around, equally good workout. And you're like, yeah, that actually is a good reason to not do that many reps.
How about we just do lunges instead? Or
exactly. I'm like, I'll come at you with like actual facts, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do the thing that we originally planned.
Okay. Well, okay. Now I have to wreck us on our next leg.
Don't let me lawyer you.
No, actually, bro, remember our, I feel like we go extra hard on our leg days.
Well, no, we do, because we both almost died last time we came back from quarantine.
I pulled a fucking muscle last time we did legs.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't. Literally sitting hurt. I mean, we have good days. I just want to throw up. I haven't thrown up since college.
Well, this was his first leg day since getting back. That's why he threw
up. That's true. You know what would make me throw up? What? Let's go use like some heavy cardio. Let's just go on like a beast of
this
a run.
This is what does it. Like doing high volume quads and then switching to hamstrings. Because the blood flipping like that, it just like the lactic acid just like makes you nauseous. See, that
actually just proves my cardio thing, because the last time I threw up was because of sprints. Yeah, it's like you go steady state to like quarter mile sprints.
Yeah,
and I like yacked all over myself. So,
well, shit. Sorry guys, we're on a huge tangent.
Oh no, we're good, dude. We got all. Okay, what's your L?
So that was my win. Now that feeds into my L, which karma got me back hard. Me and Jeff were hitting chest and back, and I tried this new pre workout from the nutrition shop right next to the gym.
What's it called?
It's called Power Nutrition.
Never heard of it.
And it was some pre-workout that they had behind the counter that they sell by the scoop. And
that makes it sound sketchier.
Yeah, it was sketchy because I never heard of it before. And it had like a bunch of caffeine in it. And I was like, hey, what's one that's more on the mild side? He's like, well, all of them have 300 milligrams of caffeine, which is, you know, pretty high.
It's like, this is my personal pre-workout. I crack half one of my Adderalls into it and I get 300 milligrams of
right. Exactly. This one, they all have meth in it, but I'm just kidding. So he's like, this one has 300 milligrams just like the rest of them, but this one has CBD in it, so it should, you know, make it a little more chill.
That is interesting.
So I was like, okay, I'll try that one. So I tried it, and I just like, I feel like it made me nauseous right off the get-go.
Well, because CBD is supposed to reduce inflammation, so I wonder how that would have an impact with the caffeine in the workout.
It might actually, you know, now that I forgot about that, if it reduces inflammation, it might actually blunt gains, because gains is caused by inflammation.
Yeah, I don't know. I get, if someone told me CBD, I personally wouldn't have, just because I think it's, like, that's my thing. I think calming, and that's not what I would want.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it made you, did you throw up?
I threw up, yeah, doing, like, back and chest.
I have never thrown up from a back day, so that says something. You're either getting your ass beat, or is that
lead? Probably some of both.
We'll call him A. We'll call him B.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I would like to get into my L.
Yes.
And I think that the L is not just for me, but the L is for society.
Okay.
And I just said we weren't going to get political. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is a very low level, not very important thing.
Yeah.
But it bothered the shit out of me. So we are back at the gym. And if you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said, there's a bunch of new people back and I think they're awesome they're polite.
In fact, that's what you did say a week ago.
I did. I was like, wow, like this is just such an impressive bunch of people who are coming and being a part of this community at the gym, and I love them for it. Fast forward to today. Fuck all of you. No, we have had some...
Go back to your goddamn gym.
Well, the thing is, none of them are like brand new to the fitness culture. They're coming from somewhere else. And I'm like, take your garbage and go somewhere else, because I hate how you act. I hate who you are.
Dang.
I hate what you're doing. And I made a small list. I actually took my phone out after two. I was so angry.
Like, I'm going to put this on the podcast.
Multiple times in one workout, I watched this girl misplace weights. So like she had like the 15s. Mm-hmm. I watched her look, and there's two slots. There's a 15, and there's like the 17. And I watched her stare at it and put them in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. And I tried to like make a silent point, because she was still kind of in the area. I stood up and I went and grabbed those weights and I put them where they belong. Then she watched me do it, and there was no look on her face of any registration of what had occurred.
It was like she watched the mirror.
Exactly. And I watched her do it again later, and I'm just like, okay, cool. So you and me got problems. Great.
Wow.
And what a noob. It was a rookie mistake. I was not happy about it. There was another person. Actually, that person and another person. That's why I brought this up. I was like, I'm not going to double tap on one person.
Wow, so both of them, her gym partner, were trash.
It wasn't her gym partner. It was just another person.
Yeah.
People using the equipment as like a bag rack. Oh. Like a flat bench and just having your bag and your drink on it while you're doing like curls. I lose my mind. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's not enough real estate to do that.
Exactly. Especially in the Pennies. It is not big enough gym for you to be able to do that. So that pissed me off a lot. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you right now, if you do that, I like you less. If you're using it and you're kind of just like holding it down because you're trying to do like an individual like superset, I understand. I forgive you. It's not a big deal. I'm not talking to you. If you just have it there because it's like, oh, well, this is a very nice place to not put my stuff at ground level, I hate you. You're the worst. There was a guy who was snatching to overhead press in the dumbbell area.
What? Over by all the benches and stuff?
All the benches. He was standing between with two benches behind me. It was the 45-pound bar with 45 pounds on each side. He was snatching and overhead pressing. I was like sitting there. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
There's a whole area for you over there.
I was looking around like other people. I'm like, is this happening? Is this real life? And everyone's looking at me. They're like, yeah, I don't fucking know. And I was like, okay, there is no way the staff here doesn't say something. And the staff came up to him. And this goes on to my next point. Do not argue with the fucking staff.
It's their gym, bro.
This guy's like, hey, man, you can't do this over here. It's kind of dangerous. Like, there's a whole space over there. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that area was full, so I decided to knock it over here. And the guy's like, yeah, I get it, but you need to be doing it over there. He's like, well, I got one more set. Can I finish it up? And the staff member's like, hey, man, I'd appreciate if you just took it over there. It's one more set, bro. I'll never do it in the future. And unfortunately, I was sad to see this. The staff guy was like, hey, one more, but seriously, in the future, like, you can't do that.
Dang.
What does this guy do? Not only does he just continue doing the 45s, he throws like 225s on each side. Does it. Looks like he's about to freaking drop it.
Was he like...
Oh, it was a very unsafe maneuver. I mean, he got it. He got his reps in. It just looked very unsafe. And he's a ginormous asshole. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying all people with tribal tats are assholes. I just don't understand why everybody who's an asshole also has tribal tats.
Yeah. It's like
the overlap is huge. It's like, I don't know.
If there's
like
a Venn diagram, the circles would be like,
they're very close. Yeah. Like, if you have tribal tats and you're a nice guy, I'm not talking to you.
The Rock, he's a nice guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's a wonderful person. But for some reason, all assholes, like, hey guys, like, stop getting tribal tats. If you're an asshole, you're making the nice tribal tats guys look bad. Another thing I saw, there's a specific, like I said, my L is very long.
Yeah.
This is, I'm about to wrap up.
I like that you have the notes. He's reading notes right now, guys.
And the last thing was our gym in particular, the water fountains, they have a sign that says, do not turn the water fountain head.
Did someone do that? Are you serious?
I watched a girl do it.
High school?
And she's staying there, and it was a large container. It was like larger than 16 ounces. And I'm kind of sitting there. And here's the thing. So if you hit a water fountain, so there's a tall one or a short one. If you do like the short one, the other one's running, it kills the water pressure on the other one. So I'm staying there, and I have to wait because if I kill the water pressure on it, then she'll get water over the ground.
Yeah.
And of course, I could have done that and been like, you probably shouldn't be doing that. But also, now there's water on the ground, and that's the staff's issue, and I don't want to be that guy.
Dang. You know what people would do? They would, when I was in high school, they would turn the water fountain thing. So if you weren't paying attention, you push the button, it would spray on you.
How would you not notice though?
I mean, just like the one.
I mean, yeah, it's a one. It's just, you just got to try.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. If it works, it works.
Yep.
And then my next two things on the list are soy sauce, shrimp, and no. I did start a grocery list after getting angry about that.
Yes.
But. Yes, so that is my L, is that the new people at the gym, who I'm going to put air quotes around new because they are not new, they are new to our current location.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You are making everything worse.
So if you had to choose between the meatball crew, you know, taking up, slinging weights crew. And,
love the meatball
you know,
crew.
Throwing a bunch of 45s and grunting and looking the intimidatingly at people, room. Or these new uncultured, no gym etiquette people.
Are you talking about, so basically people who have been to the gym but they're assholes, or new people who don't know what they're doing?
No, like those guys, remember, they were talking about.
Oh, the other day, I'll take meatball crew because they're assholes.
Yep.
But only in like the way that like they're like kind of offensive and just how they act. They never like did anything that like negatively affected my workout. Yeah, it's like I didn't like what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I would never say anything to them because they were inherently doing something wrong. Like it is not illegal to be an asshole.
They're just being douchey.
Yeah. It's just like you're just being kind of like a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
I will take 10 of them over 1 to 2 of what I've just described.
Okay.
Like I'm saying right now, if you respect the dojo and you're an asshole, you can exist in my space. I have a room at the table for you.
Right.
If you can't just follow the regular human bylaws of not being an idiot, go away.
I feel that.
Okay. Let's talk about fucking legs. I'm glad this is
a fitness podcast.
I was very angry about that.
We need to get that off your chest.
I did. So we're talking about legs. Where do we start? Let's like just kind of break it down to the beginning of like what does this mean? Because there's a lot of people who have been squatting and they know what they're doing. Let's forget about them for a second. Like, where do we start when it comes to doing legs?
I would say you start with three things: flexibility, range of motion, muscle activation.
Okay.
You know, that means different things to different people. Now, if you can't perform a proper squat and deadlift motion, then that's where you start. Mastering those two forms of motion. If you already know those and have experience, then you have to choose, like, do I want to get stronger or do I want to grow my legs?
Okay. So when we're talking about flexibility, are we talking like you need to be able to do like a full-on third world squat, or are we saying like as long as you can get parallel to the ground with your back straight, you're probably good?
Yep. I would say like pretty close to parallel. I would say maybe like an inch above, you can start squatting. If someone can't even do that, what I'll have them do is just like high bench box squats.
Okay.
You know, so it's like they're sitting down on like a bench that's above 90 and then standing up in that good position.
Okay.
And like what usually I run into, the biggest issue is people have lack of range of motion in their hips, ankles, and knees.
I think that hips is one of the biggest problems that we have in society in general because of desk jobs. So
especially right now.
Exactly. If you're someone who, if you're someone who is like, I don't know, like a car salesman, you're running all around, or you work in construction, or
server.
You probably have surprisingly good hip flexibility.
Right.
You will probably be impressed with the ability of yourself being able to squat. Mm-hmm. So for myself, coming from college to going to a very mobile job to now I work at a desk, my hip flexibility is disastrous. And when I say disastrous for me, what I mean is I used to be able to go into I keep saying this term third world squat. Mm-hmm. Literally just Google it. It's basically imagine like third world countries.
Or baby squat.
Yeah, baby squats. Babies are awesome at like you'll see people from like places like India or like some regions in Africa. Like they basically it's when you just Middle pop East. Your butt all the way to the ground, feet flat, and you're just sit comfortably like that.
Mm-hmm.
And babies can do it. It's hilarious because it's just like they can just pop into it.
Yeah.
And usually people who have good hip flexibility and ankle's big.
Hip and ankle.
The knee, I think, is if you have problems with your knee flexibility, you might have some other issues going on that you really need to work on your flexibility.
It's more like injuries than anything else. Yeah.
But if you can pop into that, you're probably doing pretty good.
Yeah. Which it takes, you know, maintenance to be able to keep that. Unless you live, you know, in a country or have a job where you're on your feet all day.
And let me tell you right now, it's not that hard to get back.
Right.
It's hard. It's easy to lose. Dude, watch TV and just get into your best third world squat you can do and do it for 15 minutes. Just chill like that. I promise you within, I would say less than 3 weeks, you'll pretty much be there.
Probably, if you're not at 90, you'd probably be at least 90 by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when they always tell you, like, oh, you just do planks in commercials. Yeah, no one does it, but it's not that hard. Just do your push-ups
every commercial.
Yeah, no, I've never done that.
Yeah, and then it's 2.5 minutes later, and you're dying of push-ups.
Exactly.
What I like to do is two stretches. I like to do the butterfly stretch. It's the one where you squat down and you push your elbows out. You push your knees out with your elbows.
I know what you're talking about.
And you have your hands in, like, a palm together praying motion.
I like to think of it as, like, a ninja squat.
That's
not what it's called, but like, yeah, like get into your best ninja pose, like,
yeah,
you know, push get ready to do out. Your jutsu, squat down, get your elbows in between your knees and push them out and just like kind of flare out. What that'll do is that'll open up your groin, it'll open up your hips.
Yep. Trying to force those heels onto the ground.
or even when you're doing the squat, just practicing it, like a lot, you're totally allowed to put your hands on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to bend over, and okay, so I talked about keeping your back straight with squatting. I am a part of a subsect of trash human being that bent folds over like a little taco when I'm squatting. If it works for you and it's not causing you back problems, don't worry about it too much. Fix it. Eventually, I'm not saying that you should take up my bad habits, but it's not a deal breaker on your ability to do stuff. Don't bend over so far that the bar's going to fall on your head, but like, don't say, oh, well, I can't stand up completely straight.
That'll come over time.
It'll come. Yeah. Your hips are not flexible enough yet.
Yeah. And it's hips and core strength, or even coordination. You mm-hmm. know, it takes practice. Like, shit, I've been squatting for 12 years now and I still haven't mastered it. You know, there's still tweaks to my form I need to make.
If someone can squat 3 plates with their back completely erect,
yeah,
that's like a low key supreme flex. Like that mm-hmm. is a person who is very good at what they do.
Yeah.
So it's like if you see someone bent over and doing it, it's like, okay, cool, they're strong. But if they are completely erect, it's like, damn,
it's like you got core strength. They mastered it, you know.
You have hip flexibility, you have core strength, you are, you know what you're doing, bud.
Yep.
It's also with, we talk about starting, don't feel bad about not using weight at all or not a lot of weight. Because I think a lot of people, especially women, sometimes they feel like, because like, you'll see people using the 45-pound bar.
Right.
If you have to just go grab the straight 25-pound bar.
Or a dumbbell.
Or nothing. Or even, like, just hold a kettlebell in your hands to your chest.
Right.
Hey, no big deal. That's just get to where you need to be and get what works for you.
I start new clients off there all the time. Yeah.
I think that's more of a concern for people who are by themselves new. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, okay, well, this is the squat area.
Right.
And people are doing more than I could imagine.
Like giant,
doing
scary bars and weights.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck that. Don't worry about them. This is a you problem, not a them problem. Mm-hmm. So just focus on what you can do. Because the thing is, if you do too much, and we'll talk about, you know, overtraining in a little bit,
right,
it's going to scare you away. And it's going to put you in a position where you can't develop. So, you know, start as light as you need to, get that flexibility, and you'll get there.
Right.
And we're talking about flexibility from a greater level. What do you think are some recommendations from like our more intermediate
If you're trying to like up the level?
Yeah, say like I want to be straighter up, or I want to be able to do stuff like pistol squats. Like what kind of flexibility things do they need to be working on?
You want
to
continue to do like hip opening stuff. Ankles are probably already flexible enough if you can do a squat at least a 90.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is, there's different forms of it, but it's basically like you're in a lunge position with your knee on the ground, and then you push forward. And it opens up your hip, kind of like you're doing like a lunge stretch from the ground. Or you could do stuff that like where your back foot is elevated and then you lunge forward.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that opens your hip up. Like just hold it. Remember, every time you're stretching, you have to hold the position for at least 30 seconds before the muscle relaxes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get to that point, then you don't get the stretch.
Now, I'd like to ask you a question, because we've talked about static versus dynamic stretching.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that they should be doing at night before their workout? Because, you know, static stretching before workouts, there's some debate on.
Yeah, they should be doing after their workout.
Okay, so after their workout, before.
Yes.
Something I also like to do is going into a deep lunge forward, putting my hands down flat, counting for my full stretch, then moving down to arms, like putting my elbows on the ground, like flat forearms. And then I wrap that same leg up. I take that leg, bring it inwards, lay down on top of my calf with my leg tilted out, perpendicular to my body, and lay on top of it essentially with my forearms. And man, that opens up your hips. I used to do that for sprinting a lot, just because my groin gets, I've had groin injuries in the past.
It's easy to get, you know, a groin injury is super easy, especially with our lifestyles right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, as far as like, dynamic stretching, are we talking just like a regular high knees, toes to kicking up stuff?
Is like it could be as simple as, you know, if you stay on top of your static stretching post workout, your warm up can be as easy as like going on the stair mill for 5 minutes.
That's what I do. Like we've talked about before. I like my steady state mile before, just because like it gets me nice and sweaty, gets everything hot, and then that activates my core and my legs. That's how I usually try to.
If you do that, then you just need to hit like some warm-up sets, more warm-up sets before you start going to your working sets in your first exercise. If you aren't doing enough static stretching afterwards, or your flexibility is pretty bad and you need to really work on it, then that's where I recommend sticking with the dynamic warm-up. And I really like lunging type hip opening motions.
Lunging has been growing on me a lot.
Yeah.
It's weird how you have all these little accessory muscles all around your legs that don't get activated while you're squatting. Mm-hmm. And it's been great to start getting lunging back into my, you know, into my, my toolbox.
Right.
And I think it's good for the core. I think a lot of traditional lifters like to avoid it because it's hard and it sucks. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
Like, do not tell me that lunging doesn't take a long time.
It takes a long time. It beats your hands up.
Yeah. It's
like, you got to carry those dumbbells across the gym.
It's a good, it's so good for you though. It's it's exactly, it's like cardio.
It's like dumbbell rows. You know, they suck, but you got to do them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think lunges are also good for like long-term health. If you're trying to like create like a healthy, like base, like that's how you avoid injury.
Right?
That's how you avoid injury is stuff like lunges.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking, okay, so let's, okay, so we talked about flexibility. This is stuff you're doing the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
or post-workout. Yeah.
We wanted to talk a little bit about nutrition because it's a major muscle group, and we talked about people like throwing up during leg day and stuff. I don't know if anyone else had this, but, you know, when you're working out, like that's when you get those cold sweats and you're getting really dizzy and you're like, oh no, I don't know if I did this right. Like, what is the best way for people to prepare for the shock of having a serious leg day?
If you're not used to doing fasted workouts, I think that you shouldn't approach a heavy leg day fasted because your blood sugar is going to drop and you're going to feel nauseous and shaky and, you know, probably feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't want to go into a leg workout where you have a full stomach because you will start sloshing around. And after you do your fourth set of deadlifts, you're going to throw up.
Okay.
So those are two things to consider. I also think that, as far as pre-workout nutrition, it's best to stick with just protein and carbs, not to have a lot of fats because fats make things stick around in your stomachs longer.
Okay.
Yep.
So a significant meal with good protein carbs, preferably
like 2 hours before.
2 hours before.
Yep. If you can have a snack 1 hour before, in which the nutrition guidelines for that are somewhere between, you know, 20 to 40 grams of carbs and about 10 to 20 grams of protein.
Yeah.
And then if you're having it 2 hours before, you can double that.
So for the people who are in a deficit, this is like where they can cash in some of their, maybe their cheat meal or whatever they got going on.
Or just carbs in general.
Yeah.
Like what my coach has me doing is I'm front loading all my carbs in the beginning of the day. I usually work out in the afternoon or midday. And my first 2 to 3 meals have all my carbs. And then after that, I don't eat any carbs the rest of the day. And what that does is by the time I get to the gym, I've digested 2 to 3 meals with carbs that have already made it to my muscles. So I can push with that. And another thing that I like to do that helps out is if you're eating multiple meals a day is avoid eating fat until nighttime before bed, because then you can still stay hungry and stay, you know, without your stomach getting full.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a good way to look at it. It's like, it's one of those questions where it's like, well, the easy answer is just make sure you're fed, but really like make sure you're fed, but also not full.
Yeah. Because I mean, everyone's gone in there on a workout or run or I don't care, any athletic venture with a full stomach and realized that it was a mistake. It's happened to all of us.
Every cardio session I was in there, for the first month that I was in the military, I threw up on every run I went on, which was hilarious because if you know anything about me, I think throw up is icky and I hate it. So I did everything I could to not throw up. And the only thing that I had an answer for, because they'd always tell us, oh, make sure you have a banana or some toast before you go on a run, blah, 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 blah. Not for me. I do every time I do cardio, unless it's for like a test or something, I go in completely fasted because I am not going to throw up.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, your body on that, you know, you can function in best without being overly fed.
It took some work.
Yeah.
Took some work. Had to get there.
That's true. That's what I think a lot of people mess up. They're like, oh, well, so-and-so does workouts fasted, you know, first thing in the morning. Well, it's like, yeah, they went through 2 or 3 weeks of uncomfortable.
Just feeling like crap.
Workouts, feeling like shit before they adapted to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now we know what we need to eat. We need to flex. We need to work on our flexibility. We need to flex.
Yes. How do you flex your legs?
Exactly. Oh, now we're going to start talking about posing.
Yeah.
No, we're not there yet.
I'm not qualified.
Well, so we talked about briefly when you're lifting for strength versus size.
Yes.
So do we want some functional fireman legs that are going to carry bodies out of burning buildings, or do we want to be dummy thick?
Right.
Or can we be both?
You can definitely be both, And that may be the key to maximal leg gains, actually. But obviously, that takes the most amount of work.
Work.
Oh, dang.
Darn.
And I learned this the hard way. Like, I feel like I made the mistake of thinking that I trained just for strength. And I was like, my legs are going to get bigger just from doing that. And I got some pretty strong legs, you know.
I'm perfectly aware of your strong legs.
Yes.
And how it doesn't make sense physically.
Because I was doing like just strength training on legs. I'm like, I need, because everyone's like, once you can squat 4 plates, your legs are going to be this big. And then I get to 4 plates and my legs are still not that big. And I'm like, what the heck? So I realize just being strong in your legs isn't everything.
Okay.
You know, it's like, yes, I made some progress, but I still didn't have the look that I wanted. So what I did is when I was with my new coach, he made me dial back everything on weight. Like I'm squatting with 1 plate on the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing it superset with something. And instead we're going for like filling up my legs with blood and tension and just like pain.
Okay, that's, well, let's actually, this is good. Yeah, okay. Let's roll it back real quick. So yes. When you were going for strength, what does that look like? What kind of splits are we looking at? What kind of day are we looking at on a leg day when we're looking at strength?
Yes, thank you. So when lifting for strength, what I think should be best is you should be focusing on progressing the weight on the bar.
Wendler, 531, more weight.
Yes, more weight on the bar week to week. And what people do that, or how they do that, is they either do percentages or they do where you lift in like intensity ranges. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's like,
or RPEs. A little bit of both.
Or some of both. You know, yeah. You could do some of both. So this is lifting low reps for multiple sets. So, you know, like sets of 5, sets of 3, sets of 1. Mm-hmm. People do like cluster sets. So they'll do like, you know, I'm going to do, you know, 3 sets of 3, and then I'm going to do, you know, a volume set after that, you know.
Well, let me give a quick example. Yeah. I'm going to dumb down an already very simple thing. I mentioned Wendler 531.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite things. It's like where I got my basis in working out. And if to anyone who like has the idea that they want to get strong, they don't know where to start and don't want to pay somebody, I just tell them to Google Wendler 531 or get it on your app for your iPhone. It's free. And at the end of the day, how it works is you have your 5 week, your 3 week, your 1 week, and it all comes down to your... On your 5 week, your biggest set of the day is 5. So you're going to be doing your peak weight that you can rep 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Your 3 week.
Right.
The peak weight you can do for 3. The last one, that's your actual supposed to be your actual PR. There's some argument about whether or not there should be an actual PR, because especially for new people, you're PRing like every couple of weeks. That's possible. For people who are a little bit more established into it, it's really just the rechecking to make sure you can still do that heavy weight.
Right. And then touching the weight.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after that, that's typically when you're supposed to have a deload week, which everyone skips because we're all assholes.
Max out.
We skip.
That's we'll called my max out week.
Straight to 5. And really, that's supposed to be a deload, which would make us all stronger. So that's an example of a strength model of lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you talk about that I hate when people talk about, it's always like these bros, it's like the 17 to 19 year old dudes who are like, oh, well, that bodybuilder's not that strong. He only works out for size, not for strength.
Mm-hmm.
You're a moron.
Right.
That guy's strong as fuck, guaranteed. However, he has changed his workout so that he can focus on size. People who are very strong are big. Ask Arnold about it. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
But where it's funny is that when we talk about genetics and stuff, that's when we need to start focusing on like, okay, well, how do I focus on size? Because you had legs that were strong as fuck.
Right.
Okay, we needed to tend to them in a very specific way to cultivate any size. That's when it starts becoming an argument about size versus strength.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you're right. Like some people would just by increasing their leg strength gain.
We all know those guys. We know guys who were freaking shit brick houses because they're strong.
They're just going to be big no matter what.
They break muscle. Yeah. It grows back more and they're awesome. I think that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But we're jealous of you.
Yeah. For those who have to work, you know, go the long route on this one, then I think that yes, someone should start out, do like a strength phase where they get some respectable numbers on the board. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say like two plates is a good goal to shoot for.
We've talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
You should, when you first start working out, it's actually a lot better to focus on strength goals.
I agree.
And it's like benching two plates, squatting three plates, right. overhead pressing one plate, mm-hmm. Deadlifting four plates.
Right.
It's like if you hit all of those milestones,
well-rounded,
then you are incredibly well-rounded. Yeah. And now, I mean, obviously at any point in your career, you can decide that you don't want to do that anymore and change to something else. But once you've hit that, mm-hmm. if you don't like what you're doing, that's an excellent time to stop and say like, okay, where do I want to be in my yeah. fitness realm?
Yeah, that you paid your dues, I'd say, with the basics at that point where you can specialize more.
Which is such a hard, I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah.
It is not an easy thing to come. So if it's like you're struggling to hit those, yeah. like it took me for fucking ever to hit like a one plate overhead press.
Right.
It was so hard for me. It took me forever.
Everyone struggles exceptionally with one of those four things.
At least one.
yeah.
And so it's like, don't think that's like a hard and fast rule, but yeah. it's, I would say that if you're serious about a long-term career in fitness, very good place to start.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. So then what people would do if they're trying to train more for size, they would do also with an idea of like, I want to maintain strength and not just drop weight off the bar just because, but they would try and focus more on a smaller range of motion where they feel it in the target muscle isolating, as opposed to just, I'm trying to push as much weight as possible, and try and damage the muscle through volume as well as weight.
And then we've moved into lifting yeah. for size.
Lifting, yeah.
So we're talking more about, less about functional and more about breaking muscle properly.
Yes. And this is more of like, I would say it's more of like the artist route, you know?
I like that.
Yeah.
I really like that because I feel like the strength way is like the warrior route.
I agree.
And because I just feel like the guys who go for size, like they get ripped on a lot by the strength mm-hmm. crowd, the functional crowd.
Yeah.
But I like the concept of saying it's like, hey, like they're the artists.
Yeah.
They're being a little bit more dramatic about things. Maybe yeah. they're a little dramatic, but oh, I don't train my obliques because yeah. my obliques are really big. Oh, who's that sound like?
Me.
But it's like at the end of the day, it's like I'm trying to create a structure that like reaches a certain standard
right.
or I want to look like this certain aesthetic.
Right. Yeah. And I think that mindset is embodied or should be embodied by people trying to, you know, gain size aesthetically. It takes a different mindset. Like this is something we've talked about multiple times. You know, I'm like, dang, bro, you lift like a powerlifter, you know, because you just like you get the weight and you accelerate it as fast as you can up, which is pretty fast, by the way. And then
I got to get that weight off me.
And you get it off of you as quickly as possible. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I'm like slowly just edging back. I'm like every single day. I'm just like, I don't really give a shit about looking good anymore. I just want to be strong again.
There is some fun and satisfaction it's just so like fun. Throwing up weight quickly and powerfully.
Gotten better.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot more control, but there was a long period there where it's just like, hey man, like just stick with the weight for a little while. It's like, no, move
yeah.
weight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so there's that mindset where it's like the purpose of me lifting this is to just cause as much tension and pain in the muscle as I possibly can tolerate. And that is what allows the muscle to grow, I think, the most effectively.
So what you would say is when we're talking about building size and we'll mm-hmm. say for legs,
yeah.
like if you're trying to build strength, mm-hmm. you're trying to move the weight. At the end of the day, right. it's all about from here to there.
Yep.
And God, you know, fuck the, you know, the means justify the ends. Yeah. Obviously do good it safely, don't injure yourself, good
yeah.
form. But, you know, if someone wants to criticize you for like your flight path, hey, yeah. still got it up. It
yep.
didn't fuck my back up. Still good.
Yep.
But when we're talking about lifting for size, it's like you got to learn to like live with the weight and like yes. go slowly with
use it well.
Okay. Yes. So when we're talking to Wendler's 531 is what we was an example of like lifting for strength. Is there yep. a equivalent kind of methodology for lifting for size?
Yeah, I think the push-pull leg split is pretty popular. I think that it's best to superset muscle groups, and that's what's been working for me. For example, a split that I really like is, you know, I'll put just one plate on the bar for squats. I'll do 12 back squats, no break, you know, like quickly tension on the muscle, and then I'll go to step ups, 12 each.
Mm-hmm.
And that back and forth, now I'm not using a lot of weight on either of them, but your muscles will be screaming, your legs will mm-hmm. be full, you're going to be feeling like trashed. So it's like that type of training is what has been causing more of the cytoplasmic breakdown for size.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cool.
I like that a lot. Well, we talked a little bit about the strength, talked about the size. Now, this is something that is for beginners. I think they should listen to this, but for people who are starting to go up in weight and they're becoming a little bit more engaged with leg stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out, we've been kind of only talking about squatting and lunging and stuff. And I actually, this is totally a sidebar. If you can leg press a shit ton, no one cares.
Right.
I'm just going to tell you right now. I got into like a weird little debate with some guy the other day. It's like a friend of my girlfriend's brother. And he's like, yeah, I leg press 500. And I was like, all right, what about the bar though?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, you know, it's been a quarantine. I was like,
the injury. Yeah.
I was like, exactly. It's, so the leg press is what is, think about, so you're doing bench presses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about like how much they can, what is that? Hammer strength.
Like, yeah.
Like hammer strength push. It's like, all right. I mean, it's kind of a lot, but it's just a different thing. It's like, it's not the thing.
Right.
It's the thing you do after your actual movement.
Right. It's like, you can't be throwing some serious smoke and flexing on the leg press.
Yeah.
I know it looks cool when you're throwing on all those plates, but it's not the same lift as it is for the next guy.
And also your range of motion is probably bullshit. I'm calling it right now. Like, send me a video. If you think I'm lying, I'm sure there's gonna be some fucking monster of a dude. He's gonna like throw like 1400 and do it like ass to grass on the leg press and make me look wrong. But
the only one I've seen do it like that is Ronnie Coleman, right? And he went all the way up and all the way down.
Dude, so many people, it's like they do like this weird, like, I'm gonna call it, describe it as like 15-20% like change, like, and they're like, oh yeah, 500. It's like, kill me.
It's because their stomach is so big that like they just have to go back 4 inches with their knees before they hit their stomach.
Hey man, don't call out us big tummy boys. That's very rude.
Well, you know, everyone's seen the guy at LA Fitness, the huge, huge fat guy who just has like stacks on each side.
Yeah.
And his legs, like, I don't know how he even gets them up there on the leg press, but
hey man, they try.
Yeah.
They try. Well, so what that laterals into is injuries.
Yes.
And how fucking common they are, especially when it comes to leg stuff. I think most of us who have been lifting for a while, and if this hasn't happened to you, God bless, please send me like an email and tell me how. How you did this.
Superman over here.
There's a lot of us suffer some kind of injury as far as like our back or a knee or a hip. You pulled something. Like most of us have suffered pulls,
mm-hmm.
like or knots, like getting a knot in your back from positioning odd. And some of us have been very unlucky and slipped a disc or blown out an ACL, or these are things that are very, very serious and completely can alter your lifting career.
Yeah. It's just part of being an athlete.
Exactly. It's a risk you take, but there are things that you can do to avoid it.
Right.
And that's kind of what we want to talk about is prevention.
Right. And I think the number one thing you can do is maintain your range of motion and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's proven. It's like that. Have you guys heard of the NFL and Combine? I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where they go and they test these athletes on their performance.
College athletes going into the NFL, if you don't know what that
is. Right. Yes. I probably needed a refresher on that. No, I'm pretty bad at the football.
No, you're good.
Yeah. But basically, these guys, all you see is them doing like the passing drill and like the bench press and like the part where they go through the barriers and stuff like that.
They do jump tests. They do, they measure like their hands. They actually do like a touching your toes test.
Mm-hmm.
And why do they do all of that?
They have these, exactly, because they're about to spend millions of dollars on them, and they want to make sure that they're not, getting somebody that has poor range of motion. That means they're going to get injured during their season.
Even the linemen, we're talking like the freaking 300, 400 pound giant dudes on the line. Mm-hmm. They can run quick as hell.
Yep.
And they are surprisingly nimble and surprisingly flexible,
mm-hmm.
because that is how you don't get injured.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like an art how they get, supremely fast and strong and powerful, but also maintain mm-hmm. that balance,
And it comes down to like what you do outside of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you take time to stretch and work your flexibility? Do you roll out?
Do you stay hydrated?
Nope. If you live in Arizona, probably not. It's those little things like proper nutrition. Are you getting enough protein in? Are you properly cycling your workouts? Are you doing like back-to-back chest days?
Staying balanced. Yeah.
Are you being disbalanced in the way you're training? Are you overtraining a certain part of your body? Like, oh, I've overtrained my my quads and my glutes. Now I've put myself in a position to where my hamstrings are very compromised. That means if they ever get engaged improperly during a heavy lift, like, shit, dude, you can snap a hammy.
That's a common injury.
It happens.
Yeah.
Same thing with like groins. Like, oh my God, I love when people, and I'm going to go ahead and just out myself right now. This has happened to me. I got into like a little bit of like a talking shit. And I, for some reason, I decided on foot race. I was like, I kick your ass in a foot race.
It's always like the sprint that you didn't warm up for.
Oh yeah. And I went cold into a sprint and I was killing him.
Yeah.
But he won because I went tink and I was like, oh, like down. And I lost it. I was actually out of it for like a week and a half
because
I fucked my groin up. And it's stuff like that, like warming up. Like things, you young bucks are probably walking out there and like just fucking slinging weight and being fine.
Yeah.
And I
enjoy it while it lasts.
I respect the shit out of you. I love you for it.
Yeah.
And you can't do that forever.
I remember when I hit the wall and I was like, wow, I actually got injured and I actually need to start warming up and stretching. I was in LA Fitness doing power cleans like that idiot with the the bar in the weight section. That was me, bro.
I hate you.
I was 24 years old.
I like you less right now.
Yeah, and I was doing that, and I fucking tore my groin, and I was out.
What is up with these groin injuries?
This is the only time I've ever had a profile in the Army was after that, and I had a profile, and I had to do 2 months of physical therapy.
Only profile I've had in the military, I blew up my calf because we were literally running hills like every day of the week.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And you can argue all day about whether or not that was a good idea, but I do not think it was. Okay. So we are actually going pretty high in time. So let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Do you have to squat? We just talked about how we've been only talking about squatting and lunging. I have an answer for this actually, cause I forgot about this. I wanted to say it. I forgot it. The first of all, answer is no. Second of all, if I shit on you about leg press, I still stick to that. However, if you go onto what is called I think the brand is Pit Shark. I don't know if that's what the equipment is officially called, but essentially,
Belt squat.
A belt squat.
Yeah.
So essentially, it is a squat machine that wraps around your hips with a belt, and instead of going on top of your back with a bar, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the coolest inventions ever. And it is equally, if not slightly different in difficulty for certain parts of your body. I think if you can squat on a Pit Shark or belt squat, I count that as a regular squat amount. You do not necessarily, I know that you might have a different opinion because there's like a lot of core involved, but if you physically cannot do bar work, I will take an asterisk and I will say that the belt squat is equally relevant.
Okay. I definitely think the belt squat is better than not doing any squats. I agree with you on that.
I'm sticking to my guns.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't necessarily agree, but I see where you're coming from on that.
Let me clarify real quick. If you can do a back squat and you choose the belt squat, you don't get the asterisks.
Yeah. I think that there's something with the bar for both squat and deadlift that like activates parts of your nervous system that you don't get activated without that. That's the only thing. And I'm saying this still under the team. No, you don't have to squat to have good legs and be athletic.
Yeah, because the thing is, there's a lot of medical conditions that like squatting literally is not an option.
Right. And there's plenty of bodybuilders who have been on the Olympia stage who can't do squats. And they just train through machines and other motions.
It's doable.
Yeah,
like you might have an argument about functionality and stuff, but at the end of the day, if you're just trying to look good and be healthy,
like Dusty doesn't squat because he's actually so big that squat is a bad motion for his legs because it doesn't activate enough or isolate enough.
So is he typically just doing
just hack squat and deadlifts?
Oh, I fucking hate hack squatting.
Yeah, it's even worse than squat. You can argue.
I fucking hate hack squat. I like push that from my mind. It's like I don't remember that hack squatting's a thing.
Yeah.
Until I see the hack squat or someone mentions it. Another one that I think is interesting is that I don't know what the machine is called. It's basically like over you.
Yeah. Oh, the vertical leg press.
The vertical leg press.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the fuck who thought of that fucking torture device.
It's painful, huh?
Yeah, dude. It's like I could see myself getting pretty strong on it, but like it's kind of scary.
It is.
It's basically like a leg guillotine. Press if it's above you.
Yeah.
It's literally
the whole platform.
Yeah.
You're like, the leg press is already above me. No, it's like over your head.
Above you.
Yeah.
It's very odd and it's very scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we can both agree here that no, like you, if you can't squat for whatever reason,
there's ways around it.
Also, sure. And I'm going to say this now, if you just don't want to squat, be cool, but also you don't have to.
Yeah.
it's like I don't like it. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, like you're going to get shit, but like also yeah. you can have really excellent legs without like being under the bar.
True.
I mean, don't try and come at somebody.
Just don't brag to me about your leg press.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like, all right.
that's all I'm saying. It's like, yeah. I prefer not to squat. It's like Dimitri has exited the chat.
Yeah.
It's like, I got like a thing, my spine, I got like, you know, I had fucking, I don't know, scoliosis and squatting is not a thing for me. So I use the belt or the leg press. Like, all right. Yeah, that's a relevant thing. Your numbers are relevant to me. I think you're awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
It's the squat. This is why I think that people should at least attempt it and give it a solid try before deeming it not good part of their routine. It's a good way to earn respect in the gym right off the bat. If someone looks at you and you're like, they're like, man, that guy has put in work and has a good looking squat or girl, then they're like, this person is like dedicated to the game.
Not even necessarily heavy, but like a good ass to grass. Just good looking.
Yeah.
Like it's like you have a good like flight form. Path. You go deep, you go long, and you take care of yourself. I think that it's something that's respectable. So with all that said, we're talking about, you know, squatting and people hate it, which makes me think of pads that you throw over the bar, which I think get a bad rap, and I would never do it because I am self-conscious and don't want people judging me.
What
are
they called? What's the pad's nickname in the gym? And it's very sexist, but it's like, grab the tampon.
Oh, I was trying to think, like, bitch pad as a tampon. I mean, it's kind of shaped like one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great. That's, well, it's like, it's us making fun of gloves. It's one of those things, it's like, if your hands hurt and it's making you lift less, you should wear gloves. But also, we're a bunch of toxic assholes and we're going to judge you for it.
Yes, we are. And honestly, I feel like when you're lifting a ton of weight, it's hard to hold on to the bar with gloves.
Anyways. Oh, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's like if you're doing enough weight with a pad, you're actually putting yourself at risk of it rolling off your back. Like what you want. Fun fact, especially for people who do low bar, and we're not going to get into high bar versus low bar really today, which we really need to. I actually want to do that at some point.
Legs 2.0, high bar versus low bar.
Yeah, so if like you'll get to a point where like the weight is so heavy, especially in low bar, that you want it biting into your back. Like people will bleed from their back because the knurling is so dug into their back. And that's honestly, from a safety standpoint, at those high weights, it's better for you.
Right. It's more locked in. Shit, I get like a little rash or like, you know, scrape every time I squat.
At my center of my back, like right at like the connection of my shoulder blades, right in the middle, I have like this weird dark patch.
That's from like a callus.
It's like a back callus. It's very weird. Like, and I swear to God, like every time someone sees it, it's like, what the fuck's on your back? It's like, stop judging me. I'm not weird. It's weird. Like
my shins are forever scarred from pulling deadlift bar at my legs.
Well, let's not talk about that because my shins look great and a lot of people do not like my deadlift form and I'm like, still pull more than you. And I haven't broken my back.
Yeah.
But getting back to the equipment side of things, I feel like we've established how we feel about the back pads.
Yes.
I would say for especially newer people and women doing heavier weight and their back is not used to that amount of like focused pressure.
Yeah.
I will not say anything. I will let it fly, but I will say in a long-term sense, the pad should be gotten rid of as soon as possible.
Yeah. I feel like if you have zero back muscle, then maybe it hurts a little bit.
Yeah. You might be going directly to freaking spine. Like it hurts.
Yeah. That might hurt. So I think after about a year in the gym, most people will have enough back muscle where they probably should revisit the bar just by itself, just to see maybe it's not as bad as when you first started.
Exactly. I think that's a really good way to look at it. It's like, hey, look, like if you think you need it in the beginning, maybe you do. But as you go further along, I promise you, if you had just like gotten rid of it sooner, the sooner you rip off the Band-Aid, it's going to hurt for a little bit. Yep. You'll be better off altogether. Mm-hmm. You know what I also like is talking about shoes. We've talked about equipment before, and squat shoes are always great to talk about because we have the... Like, you know, I still in my closet have a pair of Addy Powers, which are the, I mean, if you've never seen, you'll have to Google them.
Is it the plastic or wood sole?
Plastic.
Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They're the wood sole are a little bit less obnoxious looking.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what they look like, you should look them up. They're fucking ugly. And they basically are a very solid shoe that raises your heel about like an inch, maybe.
Yeah. And it's like, it tapers down towards the toe.
Mm-hmm. And what it does is it has such a flat, sticky surface, bottom that it connects with the wood that you're squatting on, and it basically creates like this perfectly flat squat surface, mm-hmm. and it lifts your heels a little bit, which is just really good for your form, mm-hmm. and you look like a doofus, but they are really good. And I say there's something that's really good for someone who's doing super high weight, especially if you're doing a like a meet or a competition.
They're also good for keeping your chest up. You know, they help mm-hmm. with that a little bit yep. because it allows you to push through your heels better.
I would say that they're very expensive and no one needs them. My current things, I never pull them out
because they're that heavy. That's
I would say a good pair like we've talked about this before, Metcons. Like I just wear Metcons. I think they're a perfectly flat surface. They lift the heel just a touch. And if you need to throw like those little like 5 pounders under your heels, if that's something that you feel is necessary.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like a variation, or like if you have, you know, hamstring issue or something like that, that you would need that regularly. But I think the squat shoes are fun, and it's like something cool to add in, you know, after you've like, say it like, you know, okay, I've got my squat down. Now I'm trying to have some fun and see how strong I can get with
they're
my squat.
They're really
That's
great
a good time to use them, right?
For a PR day. Like if you never use them, you throw them on, like you will feel like good. Oddly stable.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, that's true. I like them. I have a pair. I can't remember the last time I used them.
I haven't used mine in multiple years. I mean, I keep them. I'm never going to throw them out because they were expensive and I could have a need for them. But no, they're not something I think is that important.
Yeah.
I also, with that same thread, belts and squatting. And I want to ask first, what do you think is the minimum weight that someone should be squatting before they belt up?
I think that they should throw a belt on until you're over 2 plates.
I agree with that. Yeah. I will never throw a belt on until I hit 2 plates. And that's just for a stability thing. I don't necessarily need it, but it helps like so that you don't blow out your back and this and the other. I feel like a lot of people belt up way too early.
I agree.
I also think that it's funny because a lot of people, there's a lot of types of belts, and I think they're a varying helpfulness. Like I have a very traditional powerlifting belt, and I can't remember the gauge on it. It's like, I think it's like 1832. I don't remember. I have a really thick belt.
I forgot. Are you a strap or a clasp guy?
Oh, are you talking about prong?
Are you prong or
prong versus clasp?
Yeah.
So prongs are basically like a normal belt, just to clear up for everybody. It's like you pull your belt, you put the little prong through. There's a single prong and a dual prong. Mm-hmm. And then you have the clasp, which is, it's, how do you even describe it? It's basically just like a
metal
buckle.
Leather.
It's like a leather belt with a buckle.
Yeah.
Essentially, like a hinge buckle.
Yeah.
I am a purist and I do a prong belt. Mm-hmm. It's single prong, not for any particular reason. The only reason I use single instead of double is because my torso is not that long. Mm-hmm. So I feel like taller people typically benefit from double. The only reason I don't like clasp is because I fluctuate weight fairly frequently. So it's like you have to completely disassemble the belt and reassemble it to do a clasp if you want to change the size on it. I think belts are overused. I haven't used my belt in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm planning on taking more of a strength route, my belt's probably going to start coming into play a little bit more frequently.
Right.
I think belts are very important for deadlifts at a certain weight. I typically go 3 plates or higher for a belt, and then squats 2 plates or higher. But anything below that, if you're squatting with a belt below those weights, you're really doing your core a disservice.
Yeah, you're basically making it harder for yourself later. Because you're not really touching the stability muscles. And, you know, sometimes I even like to push the higher weights, like, not like max out levels, but I like to see how, you know, high I can get before I start feeling like I need the belts.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's good to push that type of training as well. You know, we've talked about it before, finding the balance between doing, like, assisted lifts and doing, you know, like, the basic form type stuff.
Yeah. I think it's just about focusing on make sure you're doing the lift.
Right.
Don't lean on equipment. Equipment is to help you like exceed thresholds.
Exactly.
So, or to feel safe at least. It's like, it's even better if you get to a point where it's just like you're only throwing on the belt when you're like, oof, this might be a dangerous one.
Right.
Like, not even necessarily, oh, I always put on my belt when I get to this weight. It's just like, nope, I feel good. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that last one was really tough. I still need to get more reps. I'm going to throw the belt on because that's going to make sure I get my reps.
Right. I'm with you on that. I think chocks and straps can also have a place in leg day, but it can also be abused as well. Like most gyms, I'm realizing now, don't allow chalk unless it's liquid chalk now.
I mean, liquid chalk is great. It's just not good for a lot of situations. Like squatting, you'll put chalk on your back.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like more of an advanced thing to do.
Yeah.
Like liquid chalk on your back is like weird.
It's dumb. Yeah, that's true. I guess the chalk only apply and straps only apply to deadlifts.
The chalk is a thing, though, because a lot of people wear wrist straps while they're squatting too. And we're, again, this is very advanced. Like this is where like you have to like keep it like pushed against yourself.
Super heavy weights. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think we need to get too deep into that kind of stuff. I think we should have like a more advanced leg lift day where we talk about like low bar versus high bar and
I agree.
Chalk and all of that
really
stuff.
Really getting deep into it.
I think that would be entertaining, at least for us.
Like leg day 2.0.
2.0. So yeah. Do we have any closing thoughts on legs so we can knock out our last two segments? And
yes,
I think this is a conversation that fortunately we ran out of time on and we can expand on more in the future, though.
Well, this is one of those topics that, you know, we're always going to have something to say on because it's such a, you know, there's so much going on. I think that one of the key things that you need to think about with legs, and this is the biggest difference between people I've noticed that are good at training legs and people and everyone else who kind of shy away from it, is you have to embrace the intensity of training legs. It's like, if you don't go into it thinking it's like, I have to really break down the muscle and try and lift, you know, for progress. And if you're not lifting with that, then you're not going to really make progress with your legs or go very far.
Leg day blows.
Yeah. And it's like the people who can embrace the pain or the, you know, fear, I guess the fear of like, you know, that this is a heavy weight and if I do this wrong, I'll hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who don't shy away from that, I think are the ones who really have good progress. So that's about it.
My closing statements are, if you skip leg day, we can tell, and also always bring a buddy. It makes it much safer and it is probably
more likely to go hard and do it. And if you'll, you bring someone,
you'll grow and you will stay safe. Like you can hire Wes.
Yes.
5-star fitness.
I will definitely make sure that you have a good leg day. Here, my win. I made 2 people throw up on legs.
Exactly.
This week.
Do you want to throw up? You can too.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on to our last two segments. I am very upset with myself because I forgot. You heard me say it when I walked in. I mentioned, I was like, son of a bitch. I forgot to add the soundbite for our segment for Dimitri Does It to the mixing board. So we'll have it for next time.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that like all 3 of you that actually liked the Dimitri or the war on boredom, much like the war in Vietnam, we didn't really lose, but we did leave in disgrace. So the I'm going to be posting some videos in reference to what's going on, but for Dimitri Does It this time around. Last time we did a juice cleanse, it was surprisingly easy. I thought it was actually a lot better than it was going to end up. But this time around, I am going to be doing 30 days on a carnivore diet.
Shit, you already started. How far in are you?
I started on the 2nd, I believe. So, wow, I've been doing this longer than I thought. So I've been doing this almost a full week.
Mm-hmm.
And to explain what the carnivore diet is, because a lot of people say, it's funny, because people like, no, it's people think, what does that mean? I was like, exactly what you think it means.
Yeah.
I only eat animal products now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being a little bit flexible. There's phases for this and levels that you can do, and I decided to pick the easiest one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing, if it comes off an animal, I eat it. I can do eggs, I can do milk. I'm doing very little cheese. A lot of carnivore diet guys would say that you don't use any seasonings. I think those guys are
extreme,
insane. So I'm doing seasonings that don't have sugar. So like I'm not doing like barbecue sauce and shit, but I'm doing like hot sauces and just regular like salty seasonings.
What about like Diet Coke? Can you have a Diet Coke?
I'm not doing that because I feel like it's has a lot of chemicals.
Okay.
That I don't need. And I've been doing a lot of LaCroix, which is probably cheating in some way. But anything that's,
it's like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Like, I need something. It's basically, so no sugar. It's funny because people keep asking me like, well, can you have like horchata? Like, no. And they're like, well, I'm like, it has a bunch of sugar in it.
Rice
and
milk.
Unless horchata comes out of a chupacabra, I don't think I'm allowed to have it.
Yep. I didn't even think about that.
it's hard. And it's been interesting from like a social standpoint going through. It's like, I can still eat a lot of stuff. Like I had wings yesterday. I had Texas Roadhouse the other day. Like I just got like, steak.
Dang,
there.
But you couldn't have the butter biscuits.
Oh, I was pissed. I was not happy about it.
That's one of the best things there.
Dude, and it's funny because I'm like missing vegetables.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to say no carbs.
You never thought you'd say that.
Exactly. Like I have a really easy way of like just being like, okay, I can't have bread.
Yeah.
So like my thought keeps going like, oh, well, I could get like, I could have a cheat where I go get a In-N-Out protein style burger that's wrapped in lettuce.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean like, yeah, I could go get them just the burgers and stuff. It's like, you know what I also like on those? Sauteed onions. So I'm really not even going to get what
Dang,
I want.
That's
I like,
right. You can't even have the onions.
Can't even have the onions.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Most of the things that I would throw in with my veggies, like potatoes, like breakfast is like just eggs and bacon for me most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't like eggs.
How's your poops been?
Normal, weirdly really? Enough. That's I don't know weird. Why. Like, I've been like farther and fewer in between.
Yeah.
I expected to be like doing diarrhea black tar.
Yeah.
No, it's more like been like bunny.
Okay. Interesting.
It's been very, very hard and infrequent is what I would describe it as.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been talking about my energy levels a little bit, which have been surprisingly. I feel
you seem great. Chipper today.
I feel great.
Yes.
Like during the day, I feel awesome. Mm-hmm. I would say I sleep well. I sleep really deep. I sleep really hard. When I went to the gym most recently, I started realizing that like my strength is still there, but like mm-hmm. my endurance is really bad. I have to take mm-hmm. longer breaks. I have to hang out for a little bit, mm-hmm. Which is interesting because now I'm thinking about there's a random trainer dude who was like got on my case because I was taking too long on like a squat rack, but the other two squat racks were open, and I had my headphones in, and he like said, I don't think he knew that I heard him.
Yeah,
I just like stared at him like kind of like that slack. Like what?
Which trainer was it?
Like, who are you? I'll tell you after this.
Okay.
And I was like, what? And he just kind of like looked at me and like, he just kept walking. Like he didn't give a fuck about me either.
Yeah.
But I was just like, why? Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And but my energy level's been shit. Like I recognize that I'm taking a very long time to get through mm-hmm. my workouts.
Yeah.
But the strength is still there.
That's good.
It's...
I suspect all that will begin to get better within the next week or two.
Yeah. And I do get occasional kind of like fuzzy head where like mm-hmm. it's like my problem solving. Like I kind of ask dumb questions sometimes mm-hmm. and I like get a little spacey.
Right.
But I feel great.
That's good.
Energy levels have been there. The interesting thing is I've been having a lot of issues with bloating recently.
Mm-hmm. That's
like
been down?
In like the last like, you know, couple years honestly, and I have not been bloated a single day on this diet. Like, and I told you before, it's like I had a random day where I was like, I ate like two cheesy brats, like two pieces of salmon, mm-hmm. And I think I had like a small sirloin, mm-hmm. all within like the space of like an hour. Like I was just freaking like crushing. I was like, I had not eaten that day.
That's pretty cool.
I ate all of that, felt satiated, sat down, felt great.
Have you been craving anything?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. I crave everything. I'm not really even that big of a sweets guy. And I'm just like, ooh, every time walking through the grocery store, like I've been doing dumb things. It's been kind of funny. Cause like I've subconsciously, I ended up walking through the candy aisle like, on air quotes accident. Like it was weird.
Yeah.
Cause like I have never accidentally done this and I can only chalk it up was like sending me in a direction of something. Like, sure. I wanted. Yeah. Like my brain was thinking like, okay, what do we need? What do we need? Like I had a list and everything, but I just ended up in the candy aisle and I'm like walking through and I'm like, hey, we're not supposed to be here. And it's weird. And I don't know if I'm like a psychopath, but like, I swear to God, I can smell the candy through the bags.
It's so funny.
I don't know if that's real.
I bet it is. I bet because like this, your body is learning how to get carbs from other places, mm-hmm. you know, from fats and proteins. It's like, where's the fucking carbs?
Like, I walk through the aisle like... Yeah. Oh, I can smell it. It smells like candy.
I've heard people when they're dieting hard, they can smell the sugar in like pizza dough. They'll like smell pizza and they'll be like, that smells sweet. I can smell the sugar in that.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that is exactly what it is. Cause I was, I was eating ham the other day and I didn't know it was honey ham.
Yeah.
And I don't consider that necessarily cheating. It was like whatever. I only ate like a little bit of it, but I was sitting there, it tasted like sickly sweet to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? Why is this so sweet? Like I don't really like it. And I realized it's because like my body was like sugar. It was just so much.
Wow.
It's been good though. I've been craving a lot of different stuff. Been craving a lot of veggies. Interesting enough, I hate drinking milk.
Mm-hmm.
I like milk right now because
because of the sugar in it.
Oh yeah, you're right. Because I've been drinking whole milk. Because I don't drink a lot, but I usually just throw some in my coffee.
Yeah.
Because I can't have sugar in my coffee right now, which I actually don't do. I usually do stevia.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be like, well, you could use the fake sugar too. It's like same thing with like the Diet Coke. It's like, I just feel like...
Yeah. It defeats the purpose,
It defeats the purpose.
I get that.
But I've been feeling awesome. Drinking milk for my strong bones a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to answer questions about like what I've been eating. It's like eggs, bacon, sausages, kind of like brats. Mm-hmm. I've been really into that. Cheesy brats, which are probably not that good for you, but I went down the, I found a brand, which I wish I had remembered, that it's like, there's no additives really. It's like literally like pork cheese. Like, yeah. And it's a lot, it's pretty good. Cause you gotta be careful with that stuff. Cause you like look at the package stuff, like all of it has carbs added into it.
Oh yeah. Like it might have like, you know, sugar corn added in
or sugar or some kind of like flour additive. But yeah, it's been really good and I'm going to be keeping up with it and I'll go ahead and release a short video in reference to it, like probably sometime this week or next, just kind of update everybody. And we'll be talking about it every week.
I got another question for you, actually.
Oh, what?
Are you doing any, or did it recommend any micronutrients in addition?
No.
Really?
Nope. It said to use salt. And I...
What do you think about, like...
What do you mean?
Taking, like, a B-complex or vitamin D or something like that.
I haven't. I've taken no supplements.
Dang.
And I feel fine. I it wasn't even on purpose. I just kind of like forgot about it. Like last time I was like, I guess like the juice cleanse went so easily that I was just like, ah, like,
I want some more
like,
pain.
Like fuck it. Like fine.
Yeah.
Like I had like all of my supplements and my juice cleanse. I was like, I don't fucking need these. So like this time I was like, if I start feeling worse.
Yeah. You start like getting random cramps.
Yeah. Like, I've been getting more sunlight, so I don't have to take my vitamin D as much anymore. So that's been good. But I don't know. Yeah, it's been good. I think that's really boring. I wish this was worse.
I wish you had more drama.
I've lost 4 pounds of water weight, and so far I've dropped like a half pound of probably like real weight, which, and I'm going to clarify this real quick. I was talking to Wes about this. I think is awesome because what I'm trying to do is retrain my body to eat fat so that it will then eat the fat that I have. It's like, I don't want this to be like one of those like crash crazy diets. I want to like look at this as an opportunity to see, is this a diet that's realistic for anybody, at least in a cyclic way? So like I only do the carnivore diet one month out of the year, every year.
Right.
Like as a way to reset, or maybe this is a way to reset and then eat things again, like add them in slowly and be like, oh, weird. It turns out that wheat makes me feel like shit.
Right.
Oh, I just won't bring that back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I eat again. Okay. Oh, it turns out like weirdly enough, that whole thing about tomatoes creating inflammation or broccoli creating inflammation, like that's really affecting me.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing those things back. Tom Brady was right.
Yeah. Goodbye. Legumes or no, nightshades.
Right? Nightshades. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to probably be doing something like that and we'll update on it, but, I'm having fun. I'm having a good time.
Well, we're all excited to hear the results.
I'll let you know if my poops change.
Yes.
But more importantly,
I want color, contrast, and consistency.
I'll take pictures of that. Don't worry. That'll be like, we'll create a whole other Instagram. Dimitri's poops.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, let us wrap this up. We're going to move into Kendall's Corner.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Okay. I have the questions.
Yes.
And you were going to give the answers,
and then I might
follow those up with shitty commentary.
Yes.
Because I've decided that you probably know more about things.
Depends on what we're talking about.
Right. I know about the streets. I'm street smart, which is just a way of saying smart without being smart.
The streets.
So I want to do the ones that actually ended up fitting into this this topic first.
Okay,
so good idea. So we can stick on theme, and then we have a couple other ones that are a little bit less. So... the first question is, why don't I feel squats and deadlifts as much in my legs?
You know, I kind of feel like this question and the next one go together, don't you?
I mean, okay. So the next question is, why do my squats feel more like a full body cardio workout than a lifting workout? Okay, those did go together.
Yeah.
So why... do their squats and deadlifts, they're not feeling it in their legs, and it's feeling more like a cardio. Like
their heart rate's getting up. They're just feeling like that cardio burn. And a lot of that is like comes to do with being new and, you know, learning how to activate your legs. And then the other parts of that is like having your range of motion be where you don't take breaks at the top. So like if you're going and you're stopping at the top and like breathing and then going down for your next rep, if you're lifting for more of like a muscular burn and for hypertrophy, which is what they're going for in this question, then you need to not let the tension leave the legs. Mm-hmm. So what that means is on your way up from the squat, you stop a few inches early before your knees lock, and then you head right back down for your next
rep. Don't lock your knees out and flick your hip forward, which I see a lot of people do because it's a comfortable like bone position.
Yeah.
You let the weight rest on your bones. You say, nope, stop. mm-hmm. and then stay in an uncomfortable position and then go back down.
Right. Yes, that's how you get it to feel it more in the legs. Now, like if you're a power lifter and you're trying to go for like a set of three, yes, you can stop and, I mean,
pause. I'd even argue about that. I would say that actually even still stays relevant for power lifters, depending.
Yeah, but they have to go all the way up.
If we're talking top sets, yes.
Yeah.
But like from a training standpoint, like when you're training your full movement, yes. Mm. But like from a building standpoint, I think that still holds true.
Okay.
I think that still holds true.
Yeah. So basically it's like everyone's heard or most people have heard about time under tension being important for developing a muscle. Now, when you stop at the top and you rest and let the tension move to your joint instead of the muscle, then you lose the time under tension and you actually start recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We all know that person that walks around like it's such a painful thing to watch when they walk with like their knees bending backwards mm-hmm. and you can tell they put all their weight on their bones. Like they don't, there's no strength to their walk. Like everyone mm-hmm. knows a confident, strong walk that like uses the glutes and the legs. But we all know that kind of lazy, like slappy foot walk.
Yeah.
That is something that everyone should be cognizant of because that's the kind of stuff that creates situations like these. So if you're not activating your muscles mm-hmm. in anything, just be cognizant of the movement. And I think that would be a really good place to say.
I completely agree.
I would feel like the overlap of people who are having issues with activating their legs and the people who are a little bit maybe lazy in their gait. It's not like an attack on you. That's just an attack on your movement. You might see a little bit of overlap, like trying to be a little more deliberate in activating those muscle groups.
And that comes with practice. It's like that's one of the things that separates an advanced lifter from everyone else is their ability to maintain and activate muscles. Yeah.
I did something that I think we all take. Like the guys who can bounce like their pecs.
Yeah,
like,
the pec dance.
You have to get pretty familiar with your pec before you can do that.
Yeah. Like I guarantee everyone who can do that has some developed pecs because it's like you don't have that connection without being able to do that. Like, look at Terry Crews. You know, he's the best.
I'm actually doing it a little bit right now.
Dimitri's trying to do it.
I am doing it. It's happening. See it?
Yep. That's
not as even as Terry Crews.
Not as good as Terry Crews, but they are moving. I see him moving. Yep.
Not quite. Okay, so we have two more.
Yep.
And I'm going to ask the worst one first, and then there's actually a really good question that we're going to finish on. And the worst one stemmed from an argument that I got into that I said, Wes is going to have a better answer on this and he will be the deciding factor. So that became a listener question. What's healthier, butter or olive oil?
God, this is a loaded question because I know that like the internet answer is, well, both of them are equally as healthy because like butter isn't linked and dairy isn't linked to cancer in a significant way and you know all this stuff like that but
what about for cardiovascular health?
For cardiovascular, this is the thing, if the saturated fat from butter can be worse for your cholesterol if you have issues with that
mm-hmm.
Now if you're in a calorie deficit, you have a healthy body weight and you're not overeating saturated fat, then it's not bad for you at all.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, people can say that all these fringe studies and all this stuff, but the majority of the scientific info out there does not prove dairy to be necessarily harmful.
Okay. Now, what's your take on olive oil?
I think olive oil is an excellent fat source. I include it in my meals almost every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is like low in inflammation. You know, saturated fats get a bad rap because they cause inflammation in the gut
mm-hmm.
And they cause inflammation in your digestive tract and stuff like that, which if you have other issues can lead to serious cardiovascular problems. But if you stick to like the non-inflammatory fats, then that could reduce stuff like that. So that's why I think olive oil is a preferred fat choice for me. Also, I think that you can get a little bit more bang for your buck out of it as far as like greasing down a pan, like fat
mm-hmm.
or not so fat, butter. If you're trying to use it to like, you know, grease your pan so it's not sticking, you have to use a little bit more of it than you would olive oil.
Okay. So you're taking team olive oil,
but I'm not just saying that.
Wes, take a side.
Okay. I'm saying
pick an aisle.
I'm saying team olive oil, but I'm not saying that, butter is bad just because.
Now all of you butter lovers like me.
Yeah.
First of all, as we know, butter consumption is a warrior diet. We respect our bodies and those that we vanquish in combat. the cows.
Yes.
that make this butter. I'd also like to point out that butter has a lower smoke point, which not only is better for flavor, but carcinogens.
A lower smoke point or higher smoke point?
Or sorry, higher smoke point. So yes, so less carcinogens, which is good for the carcinogens and the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to point out that they are equally bad. Butter tastes better. So we're talking. I'm not putting price into this because you know what? When it comes to your body, no price is too much. Don't listen to them, honey.
So live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. So I'm saying butter tastes better and is equally bad. So it is the better choice because it tastes better.
Just to be a dick. what if you don't cook your olive oil over 400? Then it never smokes.
First of all, if you're keeping an account of how hot your pan's getting, then you and I are not on the same wavelength. If you're the kind of person who knows how hot exactly your pan is, then I don't think that you and I are on the same cooking platform.
Well, I have you know that I buy avocado oil specifically for
Complete. I'd also like to point out that this whole thing about saturated fats and olive oil is all because of Big Sugar and their takedown on fat. And then olive oil slipped in and they said, oh, we're not saturated fat. We're from Italy. And then they sent in a bunch of fake olive oil.
That's where I get olive oil from, California, because
all the olive oil is fake.
Italy olive oil is fake as fuck.
It's all fake. Fun facts. That's a completely different conversation that we probably should have. Last question. This one is far less toxic, and I actually really loved it. And the question was, what is something that you've learned from your clients, and how has that helped you to become a better personal trainer? Directed directly at our boy, Wes.
Well, I mean,
I don't have
Provide input as well, but
my clients are business people. They're if I could get them to go to the gym and
replace it. What have you learned from your soldiers to make you a better leader? How about that? We'll throw the thing back on. I can go first. Let me go first.
Because my answer is going to be like, I'd go home early. I don't know.
Oh man. Okay. I would say I've learned a lot of, you know, resilience from my clients. Like mental resilience. Like I hear about their struggles in their lives. And I think like, you know, some of them are like, oh, I have three kids, or, you know, or like I'm going through a divorce, or, you know, they're going through all these struggles and they're still showing up to the gym. They're still, you know, not making excuses and like asking for ways to be better, not just like bitching about how hard of a time they're having. So I feel like I felt like I'm already a resilient person, but because of me seeing so many different like struggles and then making it work, I feel like it's let me realize that, you know, there's still more that I can improve on that.
I like that. It's very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. I would say the only thing I could really say from developing people is I've probably just developed a fair amount of empathy. Mm-hmm. I find myself to be a rather empathetic person in general, but to a greater point, I think that it's taught me to like be patient with people and understand that like 99% of people aren't trying to be assholes or trying to let you down.
Right.
You just kind of got to like take a second and we talk about like problems. Or is this problem created because you're an asshole or because there's some second and third order events that are occurring that are now putting you in the position that make you wrong?
Right.
So I think that's something that we could all do to be a little bit better people, is just be a little more empathetic, a little more patient.
I love that.
So we're going to wrap up because we are a little bit late. So again, we thank you guys for always stopping by. We apologize for taking a little bit longer of a break off, but I did think it was due. So as you always know, you can find us at BNS_radio on Instagram, and you can find us on all of your regular podcasting apps. My name is Demetrius Sebastian, and you can find me at Instagram at Demetrius Sebastian. Shocker. And Wes?
You can find me on Instagram at WKendall_MFT, and you can apply to train with me through my Instagram link in the bio, or you can also apply through the 5-Star Fitness online website. So check us out, and we look forward to your listener questions for next week. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.